It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Just like Hillary Clinton is against the minors, she is against the police, believe me. You know it and I know it, and guess what? She knows it. Those peddling the narrative of cops as a racist force in our society, a narrative supported with a nod by my opponent, share directly in the responsibility for the unrest in Milwaukee and many other places within our country. They have fostered the dangerous anti-police atmosphere in America and all throughout America. Every time we rush to judgment with false facts and narratives, whether in Ferguson or in Baltimore, and foment further unrest, we do a direct disservice to poor African-American residents who are hurt by the high crime in their community. A big, big, unfair problem. During the last 72 hours, while protesters have raged against the police here in Milwaukee, another 9 were killed in Chicago, and another 46 were wounded. More than 2,600 people have been shot in Chicago since the beginning of the year, and almost 4,000 people killed in President Obama's hometown area since his presidency began. Not too good, that's for sure. So how are we serving these American victims by attacking law enforcement officers? The war on our police must end, and it must end now.
All right, that was presidential candidate Donald Trump last night in West Bend, Wisconsin, not far from where the rioting was taking place. He had planned to do a big rally in Wisconsin last night and scrapped that and instead made this speech that was already prepared, you know, which is unlike him. He usually goes and talks and speaks off the cuff. And this is the second day in a row he's done this. You know, he did a national security speech the day before. Now, this one was on law and order. Rudy Giuliani was with him, allegedly, I'm sure he did, worked with him on the speech. Even Governor Scott Walker showed up at a few campaign stops for Donald Trump, and Scott Walker, the governor, has not been, you know, supporting Trump. At least he hasn't come out with his official endorsement, let me just say that. The Washington Times has a good article kind of mapping out what Donald Trump said yesterday. It was a direct appeal to black voters that really he is the law and order president and that the Democratic policies have done nothing but damage the black community. Sound familiar? And so that's basically what he said. He said, I'm running to offer you a much better future. Crime and violence is an attack on the poor and it will never be accepted in a Trump administration. He said the policies holding back black minority neighborhoods were part of the rigged system led by Mrs. Clinton, who he said panders to black voters but doesn't really care about their suffering. The political class that Mrs. Clinton has been a part of for 30 years has abandoned the people of this country. They only care about themselves. I'm going to give the people their voice back. I want to read a little bit more of this. In fact, we're going to put this article on our Facebook page because it's not possible to play his entire speech. And, you know, and because you probably won't hear this much detail on any news outlet, you might hear it on Fox tonight. But it's amazing to me how the press just skipped over his national security speech because all they want to cover are the things he says that are careless, off the cuff, things that he says that are outrageous or can be spun to be outrageous, can be misinterpreted, but they don't want to cover what he's actually saying in his presentation. So you need to know what he's saying. Further, he says the problem in our minority communities is not that there's too much police, but there's not enough police. Hillary is against the police, believe me. You know it, and I know it, and guess what? She knows it. Mr. Trump argued that Democratic policies are responsible for the persistent high unemployment, inadequate education, and substandard living conditions that blight inner-city neighborhoods. He said he asked voters to consider whether Mrs. Clinton was being honest with minority voters and whether she truly had their best interests at heart, focusing on character and trustworthiness issues about which voters already have doubts. So goes on to say that he presented himself again as the law and order candidate, which is what he did, you know, after the shooting in Orlando, after that terrible murder, mass murder in that gay nightclub. He talked about being the law and order president. And he said to minorities last night, he said he had a message for every parent worried about what the future holds for their children. He said, I'm with you. I will fight for you and I will win for you. And of course, it sounds outrageous to allege that Hillary Clinton is not in favor of the police or that she has something against the police. But the facts are these. She has repeatedly sided with the Black Lives Matter movement. That's just a fact. And I told you that J. Christian Adams, in his last book, not his last book, but one of his books on the new Black Panthers, had photos in it of Mrs. Clinton and the president of the United States, Barack Obama, on stage with leaders of the new Black Panthers. Black Lives Matter, the leaders are being invited into the White House. Let's just say they're working together. Whatever it is they're working on, they're working together. And of course, Mrs. Clinton actually literally snubbed the National Fraternal Order of Police, which is the largest police union in the country, not even seeking their endorsement. So I'm telling you, this is not an exaggeration when Donald Trump accuses her of not supporting the police. It's just true, because she's trying to pander to the element of the Black community that's being seduced by this Black Lives Matter movement, the anti-police movement, stoking the flames fueled by George Soros, the billionaire. We've talked about this the last several days. And so I just want you to know what the situation is. And again, we'll put, actually, Adam, let's put his entire speech on our Facebook page as well. But we'll put this article from Washington, let's see, it's the Washington Times. It's written by S.A. Miller. It's called Donald Trump Pushes Law and Order Agenda to a Direct Appeal to Black Voters. So also you heard on the top of our news here that the Trump campaign did a bit of an overhaul. They didn't really let go anyone. They just put in place two key people, Kellyanne Conway, who is the pollster that you are very familiar with. She's the campaign manager now, which is amazing. And so Kellyanne is a rock rib conservative, I can tell you. And so she's going to be in charge of the campaign. And Steve Bannon, who you've heard me interview on more than one occasion, he's the co-founder of Breitbart News. He's going to be the campaign chief executive. So that's pretty amazing, actually. And then there's another story this morning. You know, if you watch, I was watching news last night, of course, and the mantra is that Mrs. Clinton is so far ahead. And I don't doubt those polls. I don't doubt she has been far ahead when you consider that how the media has covered her by not covering her, and how they have distorted and fanned the flames of Donald Trump's inarticulate and really sometimes very careless conversations and words he said. No question about that, but it's also no question about the fact that they focus on that and they also twist and distort it. So pollster John Zogby just came out with a poll this morning, and he says it is back to being a close race. He said that according to the poll he just did, which is a poll of likely voters, the race is Clinton 38%, Trump 36%. So that's 2 points. That's not much. And I would submit to you, of course, other polls will come out and follow, but the polls that they've been quoting this last few days are still the polls that came out after the Democratic convention, and also in the wake of all the flood of negative coverage on Donald Trump, his own missteps, and also the silence again on Mrs. Clinton and the real stories and the real actions and the really terrible things that she's actually done. So that's what Zogby's saying today. It's a close race. It's back to a close one, 2 points, according to his poll. We'll find out, again, as more polls come out today, we'll find out if they verify what he's finding. So this is another story I thought was very interesting. What is his position? His name is Robbie Mook. He's the campaign manager for Hillary for America. He just sent out a fundraising letter in which he said the Clinton fundraising is falling short. And basically, he said, we should be crushing it, but we're not. And so we need you to, whatever, give more money because the campaign giving is behind. So just little indicators. Who knows? Who knows? But we do know that's a quote from the mailer that he sent out asking for help. So last night, Jennifer Griffin gave a report. She gave a fuller report, but I just want to play part of it because the FBI is now turning over parts of the email that was held back, or that they found that the State Department didn't hand over. They're handing this over, but it's of course always with a twist. Jennifer Griffin's report right here.
The candidate continues to be dogged by new questions about whether she lied about her email server. Today, the FBI provided Congress's Republican-led House Oversight Committee with all of the notes from Clinton's interview with the FBI on July 2nd, as well as the statements of other witnesses, a rare move by the agency. Those notes, Fox has learned, are classified secret. Republicans on the committee released this video last night and have asked the FBI to investigate whether Clinton perjured herself.
I provided the department, which has been providing you, with all of my work-related emails, all that I had.
It's also likely that there are other work-related emails that they did not produce to state and that we did not find elsewhere and that are now gone because they deleted all emails they did not produce to state.
The ranking member of the House Oversight Committee, Elijah Cummings, released the following statement, quote, the FBI already determined unanimously that there is insufficient evidence of criminal wrongdoing. Republicans are now investigating the investigator in a desperate attempt to resuscitate this issue, keep it in the headlines, and distract from Donald Trump's sagging poll numbers.
All right, so there you go. That's Jennifer's report. And then last night, Greta Van Susteren, during her program, there was sort of a late-breaking story, and Catherine Herridge is following all of this about the email and the redacting, the FBI, and all of that. And this is Catherine's update. Let's listen.
The most important development late today is that some of these FBI files have now been provided to the House Government Oversight Committee, but significantly, the files that relate to Mrs. Clinton's interview have sections that are entirely blacked out or heavily redacted. And that's important because it tells us that even to this day, the information is so highly classified that some members of Congress can't even read it. So when Mrs. Clinton says, and you were talking with the speaker about this earlier, release them, this on its face is entirely suspect and at the very least disingenuous because it's simply not possible. You can't have it both ways in this situation. The fact that these documents have been provided to Congress, sections are entirely blacked out. They have to be maintained in a secure facility known as the SCIFT. This really undercuts the Clinton campaign's insistence to this day that the documents are overclassified. I know from my own reporting that there was definitely intelligence about human sources in those emails. This is the kind of information that is among the government's most closely held secrets. And when you write about government sources or human sources in these types of emails, you really put lives on the line. And this is why, to this day, the material is blacked out. You can't have it both ways. My understanding is that the feeling about the investigation was not unanimous, despite what the director said.
All right, she's talking about the FBI. And here's the point. Mrs. Clinton insisted that she didn't pass on any classified information. That's just an abject lie. And to Catherine's point, remember the nuclear scientist, the Iranian, who was mentioned in her email, who was hung in Iran. Case in point. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
The Pocket Testament League presents Pocket Power. Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. Tongue-tied when it comes to witnessing? Then let God's Word do the talking for you.
We gave out these gospels in the Dominican Republic on medical ministry. They're a very effective tool in reaching many unchurched people for Christ.
Hello, this is Mike Brickley, president of the Pocket Testament League. Reading the Bible every day is so easy when you always have it with you. You won't even need a backpack. You can carry one right in your pocket. What are you waiting for?
Recently, I started volunteering at a CPC, and the young women that came in for help really need the Word of God. This is a great way to share Christ. If they aren't ready to hear it, then most will at least take a booklet. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share Christ.
What are you waiting for? Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. For more information, call 1-800-636-8785 or visit pocketpower.org. That's pocketpower.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for a career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu. Maybe it's just me, but it seems like our nation's lost its sense of humor. Folks all across the fruited plain are just way too sensitive, an unfortunate side effect of the perpetually offended generation. The good people who run Paisano's Italian restaurant in Albuquerque learned that lesson the hard way, posting a sign the other day advertising a new dish made with tuna and black olive tapenade. The sign reads, "Black Olives Matter." Clever. But critics are blasting the restaurant, calling them insensitive. The owner says he was just trying to sell tuna with black olive tapenade. Instead of removing the sign, Paisano's decided to start selling t-shirts and ball caps, all emblazoned with the phrase, "Black Olives Matter." I suppose I could see how some folks might take offense. I mean, what about green olives? Don't they matter too? I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
All right, for those of you in Louisiana who are in the midst of all that flooding, in fact, it's estimated 10,000 people are homeless as a result of the floods. Of course, people have lost their lives. Over 40,000 homes have water damage. More than 20,000 residents have been rescued from surging floodwaters. It's hard for us to imagine here on dry land, you know, the difficulties those of you in Louisiana are facing, and yet we do intellectually understand it. And so let me just say that hope is on the way. Hope Reigns is sending in help into Louisiana. And here's the thing. All of us can help. You can be a part of this. To serve the victims of this flood in the name of Jesus, volunteers will tear out soaked drywall, remove flooring, clear debris, and spray special chemicals designed to stop mold growth. So that's what you'd be doing. And, you know, families down there need our help. So if you'd like to volunteer, Hope Reigns, by the way, provides food and lodging for all of its volunteers, but you have to be 18 years old. And to sign up, you can call. You ready? 662-255-7565. That's 662-255-7565. Or you can email Hope Reigns at 8daysofhope.com. Again, Hope Reigns is a ministry division of 8 Days of Hope. You've heard us talk about that a lot. But you can email them at Hope Reigns, R-E-I-G-N-S, Hope Reigns. I guess I should say that. You might think it's Reigns, like water. Hope Reigns, H-O-P-E-R-E-I-G-N-S, at 8daysofhope.com. And I'm sure that's on our Facebook page, Adam. I'm pretty sure it is. This information, so in case you forget, you can go there and look at the number. Again, the phone number is 662-255-7565. That's 662-255-7565. Well, it's pretty stunning what's happening in regard to immigration. I want to pivot a little bit with this. We are learning that the United States has accepted more Syrian refugees than all of the EU. We have brought into this country 8,000 versus 6,000. They're being placed in communities, mostly red states, mostly rural communities. Ask Virginia. I think they just had 600-something. Communities have no choice. Community leaders have no choice. And we all must write the checks out. It's our tax dollars that are paying all the expenses for them and their future. You know, so the Pew Research Center has noted that nearly half of the refugees entering the U.S. this year are Muslim. So that's not accidental. And let me just say that Hillary Clinton's goal is to bring in 60,000 Syrian refugees every year. That's her stated goal. Well, Donald Trump spoke about this a couple of days ago, and lest you missed it, I want you to hear what he had to say. It's Cut 9.
In addition to screening out all members of the sympathizers of terrorist groups, we must also screen out any who have hostile attitudes toward our country or its principles, or who believe that Sharia law should supplant American law. Those who do not believe in our Constitution or who support bigotry and hatred will not be admitted for immigration into our country. Only those who we expect to flourish in our country and to embrace a tolerant American society should be issued visas. To put these new procedures in place, we will have to temporarily suspend immigration from some of the most dangerous and volatile regions of the world that have a history of exporting terrorism, not for us.
All right, so that was at least a little bit of his speech. I'm going to give you a little bit more of it in a second, but I want to pause because William Longinus actually did a report on this last night on Fox News, and he does such a great job. I want you to hear it. Let's listen.
We have the most secure border we've ever had.
Those who patrol it disagree.
People are just coming over, turning themselves in, and we're lucky to catch 40% of those who aren't turning themselves in.
Border apprehensions are up 24% this fiscal year, according to the Border Patrol, including a 78% increase in children and families from Central America.
We're going to build the wall. Don't worry.
Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton disagree radically on immigration and border security. He wants a wall. She doesn't. She defends sanctuary cities. He would cut off their federal aid and deport America's 11 million illegal immigrants. She would offer them citizenship in her first 100 days in office.
Let's move to comprehensive immigration reform with a path to citizenship.
To Trump, that's amnesty.
We should not let anyone into this country who doesn't support our communities.
The idea of a mass deportation policy is as impractical as it is inhumane.
Trump would require employers to hire Americans first and also verify a worker's immigration status. New immigrants would also have to prove they don't need welfare.
He very much views immigration from a cynical, zero-sum kind of attitude. And I think Hillary Clinton recognizes that immigration and immigrants have for a long time and continue to be a very strong net positive for this country.
Clinton promises to close immigration detention centers and stop all deportations except for violent felons.
I would not deport children. I do not want to deport family members either.
Agents call that an open border.
We're allowing too many people to come in unchecked, unvetted, and just giving them free roam around our country.
Clinton says she will expand the use of executive authority, including offering work permits and access to welfare, if Congress fails to act in the first 100 days. In fact, Congress has proposed so-called comprehensive immigration reform, but rejected it 5 times in the past decade.
All right, that was William LaJeunesse. And, of course, there is a great divide between the candidates on this issue. There's no question about it. Now, that was two different areas of the same problem, and that is not having any boundaries or any screening or taking any care whatsoever as to who is coming into this country, whether it's on the southern border or whether it's, you know, from overseas. It's just amazing. And we also know that there are Islamists coming across the southern border. They found Korans. They found all kinds of things. Judicial Watch was reported on some sort of a cell that was really, and still probably is, I haven't asked them in a while, planning to do some very deadly things to this country once they come across the border. It is an amazing situation. It truly is. And the candidates are in very different places. Mrs. Clinton, as you heard in that clip, but let me even take it further. Remember the DACA program. That's the Dreamers, the so-called Dreamers program. That's the thing that, one of the things that President Obama signed with an executive order, and that was that the children of illegal immigrants who, they were offered renewable two-year work visas and a deferral for deportation. And a goal for those in the program, of course, is amnesty, which is what the president had in mind. I think he was stopped short of that by Congress. But here's the thing. Now, Mrs. Clinton is offering this new program. In fact, I'll read what it says in her campaign, from her campaign. On DACA's four-year anniversary, Hillary for America launches National Voter Registration Program. On the four-year anniversary tomorrow, when the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals enrollment began, Hillary for America is launching a National Voter Registration Program to organize Dreamers to mobilize their communities and ask voters to consider what is at stake for their families in November. Dreamers have played a pivotal role in our campaign, advocating for families who constantly live in fear of deportation, so we've created a program that aims to turn these stories into action. Okay, and so I could go on, but the bottom line is he's going to use people who are really here illegally. She is going to use these people who are here illegally, given legal status by the pen of the President of the United States without the permission of Congress. And I know there are a lot of benefits with DACA, including, you know, more help for your family members. This is all about money. I have to tell you, I realize there are probably some innocent kids brought here by their illegal parents who grew up in America, and there's some sympathetic stories, absolutely. But the law is the law. You know, and if your parents came in illegally and you are illegal, then it has to be dealt with that way. But not so for the President of the United States, not so for Hillary Clinton. So now she's going to use them to register voters in the Latino community to try to win this election. I think there's nothing they won't do, actually, to try to win this election. And then to the other side of the coin are the Islamists who are coming here in droves. We cannot vet them. Remember that in Hillary's, one of her rallies just in Florida, last week, the father of the Orlando shooter is just right behind her as the camera pans on her and she's talking about the massacre in the Orlando nightclub. The dad of the shooter is there with a sign, all happy, you know, interviewed afterwards. I'm a Democrat. I was invited to be here. It's just, and so the point was well made. If they could not vet the father of the killer, who just killed the people, what, a month ago? I lose track of time. There are so many tragedies. Do you think they can honestly vet the Syrian refugees? We know that they cannot. Donald Trump addressed what he would do in that speech he gave 2 days ago, and I think we should listen to the second part of it. It is cut 10.
The support networks for radical Islam in this country will be stripped out and removed one by one, viciously if necessary. Viciously if necessary. Immigration officers will also have their powers restored. Those been taken away. Those who are guests in our country that are preaching hate will be asked to return home immediately. And if they don't do it, we will return them home.
All right. So that was more of what he had to say. And, you know, he's been, Donald Trump has been in this, he got one of the dust-ups. It's more than a dust-up. This was something that was the major news media made hay of this for days and weeks, actually, was the attack of Khazir Khan on Donald Trump at the convention. the Gold Star dad and his wife, the Muslim, with his wife in the hijab, talking about being loyal Americans and waving the Constitution and saying, Donald Trump, have you ever even read the Constitution? And so, and then, of course, Donald Trump fights back and he says, I don't think actually he ever said anything that was very disparaging about Khan, but you're not allowed to say anything, you see. He did suggest that the wife was wearing a hijab and stood there quietly and silently because of Sharia law, which, by the way, is Sharia law. And then, of course, the wife allegedly, 2 days later, this quiet wife who we'd never heard from suddenly pins an editorial that shows up in the Washington Post about how indignant, how dare he, you know. I'm telling you, I'm just, this whole thing is like Kabuki theater. It really is. And now we know more about Khazir Khan. I talked about it at length and, of course, took my own hits for it, but I don't care. I don't care. There is a wave of propaganda in this country right now where people cannot even hear. They don't even recognize the truth when they hear it. They don't even know what the truth is. That's what I was on with Alan Combs 2 weeks ago after Khan criticized Donald Trump. Not that you can't criticize Donald Trump. That's not the point. But the point is that Khazir Khan is claiming that he's such a constitutionalist. He's waving the Constitution. He's claiming his loyalty. We've learned a lot about him, by the way. I told you he was an immigration attorney who was making a lot of money on two different kinds of visas from Muslims coming in from other countries. But now we know he does not even have an American law degree. He studied law at a Pakistani college run by an anti-Semitic, in other words, a person that hates Jews, 9/11 denier. And of course, he's lecturing about the Constitution. He is a Sharia adherent. Sharia adherents, trust me, do not embrace the Constitution. Sharia is Islamic law. It is Islam. It covers every area of life. And it is, according to Muslim scholars, superior to any other law. It trumps any other, trumps, sorry for that word. It covers any other law. It's more important. It should be observed above and beyond anything. And any loyalty that a Muslim has must be to Sharia, not to the Constitution. And so there are more things that I'm learning. Well, I'm not even going to read the speculations from, I won't speculate. I will just wait, just talk about the things that we do know. But he is certainly no constitutional scholar and certainly not an embracer of the Constitution. We know that. And now he's making news again. He was quoted in the Huffington Post of saying, this is my country too. We must make it safe. As Muslim Americans, it is our obligation to keep our country safe. We reject all violence. We support better immigration policies. We stand as a testament to assimilation, being part of patriotic America as anyone else. You see, I could take every single part of that apart because there's, you know, it's sprinkled with just enough truth and just enough effectiveness to fool people. And certainly it does. Better immigration policies? I wonder what he means. Means more of those visas? More Muslim immigration? You suppose that's what he means? He says we reject violence. Well, let me just tell you that the Muslim Brotherhood it practices what they call stealth jihad. You know, their first choice is not to go around beheading people and, you know, shooting people at gay nightclubs. They would much rather infiltrate government offices and executive branches and the Oval Office and the Republican Congress and then wield power through their subversion. That's their method. So I don't doubt that violence is not his first choice. Oh, it's not that they're against it totally. It's just not their first choice of a technique. And so you have to know there is a war waged, being waged right now. And Americans, the only way we can fight is to be informed. And that's what I'm trying to help you be. For sure. There's more to say about this, and I should open the phone lines. Let's do that. It's 888-589-8840. I've said so many things, and I'm confident there are some comments. 888-589-8840. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org, healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Hi, this is Kirby Anderson. Let me ask you a question. Have Christians been a good steward of the vote? Consider these statistics from the 2012 presidential election. First, there were 13 million born-again Christians who were not registered to vote. Second, there were an additional 26 million who were registered to vote who did not vote. I encourage you to make sure that people in your sphere of influence are registered to vote and then educate them about the issues and the candidates. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get involved in election 2016.
In the Trenches with Jeremy Wiggins.
This show is about trying to catch you up, talk about the issues, kind of zero in.
A frontline report from the culture war.
I hope that you'll leave here entertained as well as informed.
In the Trenches.
This is where we take a look at what's going on around the American Family Association. Give it a little bit of a colorful flavor. It's a lot of stuff.
In the Trenches with Jeremy Wiggins. Saturday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
God reached Michael Brown with faith in Christ when he was a 16-year-old drug-using rock and roller. With that faith, Dr. Michael Brown has devoted his life to spreading the gospel and sparking moral revolution.
The world continues to go crazy all around us. I'm here to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity.
Dr. Brown has debated Jewish rabbis, agnostic professors, and gay activists, and is widely considered to be the world's foremost messianic Jewish apologist. Dr. Michael Brown will be one of the speakers this year at the annual AFA Retreat at the Cove, October 3rd through 6th. Space is limited to 400 attendees, so make your plan soon. Get more information at afafoundation.net. Register by calling 800-950-2092, option 1, followed by option 2. It's the annual Retreat at the Cove in the beautiful Smoky Mountains of North Carolina at the Billy Graham Training Center in Asheville, North Carolina. And we hope to see you there.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Earlier this week, Donald Trump warned that the United States could not defeat the threat posed by radical Islam, quote, with closed eyes or silenced voices, unquote. Our enemies understand that reality, too. It turns out they are getting a lot of help in blinding and silencing us. In particular, leaked documents from George Soros' philanthropies show the radical leftist billionaire has been paying vast sums to various organizations to wage what amounts to political warfare by suppressing American patriots' impeding efforts to insinuate Sharia into this country, sell the dangerous nuclear deal with Iran, and bring here large numbers of potential jihadists. As it happens, I'm among those targeted by this operation to be marginalized in the mainstream media and elsewhere. It adds insult to injury that George Soros gets tax deductions for so-called charitable contributions aimed at mutating and undermining our country. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. Going to go to the phones right away, but I just want to add this. Frank was just talking about George Soros, which, you know, there's so much to say about him, and I have talked about him quite a bit. At some point, we're going to talk about him more, but you're going to see an event on August the 28th here in Washington, and it's called D.C. Rally for Refugees. And they're calling, it's a rally for refugees. They want more, more people coming in, and how dare we, close our borders or try to screen. And I just thought you might want to know that the person that's funding this is the Tides Foundation. That's a George Soros philanthropy organization. To Frank's point, he gives his billions to these organizations, and it's a charitable donation. It's a charitable. Can you imagine? All the money, he's spending billions, really. I think it's, I read somewhere, I believe it was that he has something like, it's at least $9 billion just to spend. And he's spending it. He's spending it on media outlets. He's spending it to come after people like Frank, like AFA, like many of us personally. And by the way, here's another story. More than 15,000 Americans are on an Islamic State's hit list. The FBI knows about this. ISIS has published numerous hit lists on encrypted websites naming thousands of people the terror group wants to see killed, as well as their home addresses and phone numbers. And, of course, it's instructing lone wolf terrorists to do what they need to do. So, you know, it's a very dangerous situation, and anyone who says it isn't is just uninformed. And that's why we, you know, this is not a normal time. This is not business as usual. This election is just crucial. And so that's all I'm going to say because I want to hear from you. All right, our phone number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Let's go to Victoria. Good morning, Victoria. Good morning, Victoria. You know what? I think I'm in the passive mode here. Adam, you're going to have to do the calls. Okay. Hey, Victoria. Sorry. Yeah, and no, I can now. Please start again, please.
Okay. Last night on a station called The Blaze, the reporter, Tommy, was saying that that Hillary Clinton, she already has the support of Hezbollah. And it was him speaking himself. And he says, was founded by Obama and Clinton. I'm looking at it while I'm telling you. This is no trivial matter. This is a presidential candidate speaking on behalf of the U.S. Republican Party. Hear it?
Yeah,
he
but
has
you...
his own evidence and documents. So he says because of them, he's already in support of Hillary Clinton.
Victoria, you're saying the leader of Hezbollah? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It was on the news last night.
Well, okay, so, you know, I don't know if you know this, but I know this. There were phone banks in the Gaza Strip. When President Obama was running for president, there were actually phone banks working for his candidacy in the Gaza Strip, filled with Islamists. So I'm not shocked. I'm not surprised. This is, you know, and it's funny because the mainstream media, remember, they're actually reporting that the Islamists want Donald Trump to be president. But that's just ridiculous. That is ridiculous because that's just not true. Hillary Clinton is very, as I've said many times before, but I will repeat it, had leadership and was cooperating with the Organization of Islamic State. She still is. She promised to carry out their plan to silence any criticism of the prophet. And she said, in the West, we will have, because of our, you know, inconvenient First Amendment, we'd have to do it by the old-fashioned methods of peer pressure and shaming. And so she is on record and up to her neck in advancing the Islamic cause. There's no question about it. Victoria, thank you for the report. Let's go to Valisa in Mississippi. Good morning, Valisa.
Good morning,
Valisa.
Hey, good morning. Once again, I'd like to thank you for keeping us informed. I just wanted to share, as I look at Hillary and her agenda, it takes me back that Hillary Clinton is our modern-day Margaret Sanger. And she has her own agenda, and she's using, I'm African-American, I can see that she's using the African-Americans for her, at her, there. She's just using us, those of us that will fall for her lies, but thank God I can see straight through her.
Felisa, how is it that you see that? I mean, how do you know that, and what have you heard or seen that has convinced you that that's the case?
Well, honey, back in 2008, my mom, and it was passed down through tradition that you vote for the black people vote for Democrats. Well, the Lord started dealing with my heart in 2008, and I was like, I could not just look over what he was revealing to me. And I started voting differently because it's not about the color of the skin. It's about what's in that person. Now, like I said, he started dealing with me, and I can see straight through her, but so many of us are blinded by her lies. It's crazy. Mom, it's just crazy.
Well, I think that it is crazy, Valisa, but it's like a veil of deception, and it's hard to get beyond it. And it applies, you know, to all kinds of people. There's so much deception right now. And
it
I think
is.
It is the uncommon person who really can't see past it. And so I thank God for you and your perception. I think, you know, certainly when we love God, he gives us different vision. We see things differently. There's no question about that. But I would hasten to say, and I know this is true, that you are not saying, and I'm certainly not saying, that the Republican Party are knights in shining armor who are fabulous and perfect.
Exactly.
And going, yeah, that's not true, because men are corrupt on all sides of it. But in this case, I think that if you're going to choose the person who's done the most damage to the black community or the group, it certainly has been the Democratic Party. There's no question about it.
Yes, terrible. Ma'am. They've taken us back 50 years or more, and I challenge anyone, don't look at the people that are running. Check out the platform. Check out the platform and let God speak to your heart.
All right, Valisa, thank you so much. I appreciate your wisdom this morning. Thanks a lot. Let's go to Karen in Texas. Good morning, Karen.
Hey, Sandy. Let me tell you, I listen to you every morning. And if I feel like I've lost something for the day. But I know your pod's out there. I listen to that. I thank you so much for being the great American patriot that you are. Man,
well,
do we need them today?
we need each other.
Mm-hmm. And as I was saying, I really feel like, you know, that as Americans, we do have a reason to be very afraid. And we just have to trust God that he will do what he says he will do. And I just, it is frightening today to see everything. And it's not just our president. There are so many people involved in this conspiracy to take down America. And it is very scary. Very, very scary.
It is scary, Karen. It is frightening. But because we trust God, I would confess this for myself. Sometimes when I'm not a scary person. I mean, I don't get scared easily. But I am beside myself with concern over the country. And I mourn, I grieve, I cry because I see what's happening. But still, that doesn't translate to, I still understand, and I know you do too, I still understand that God's work in this world transcends countries and nations. I don't think that he would fault us at all for loving our country. I mean, he set boundaries and he laid, you know, he started out with families, and countries are, after all, just families. They're just larger families. We, you know, grow, and we have brothers and sisters, and we get bigger and bigger, and we have, but our country is our family. So I don't think he faults us for loving it. But I do think we must keep the bigger picture, and that is that God's purposes are to bring all men unto himself. Someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Jesus is going to come in the clouds in great glory, and every knee will bow. And this is going to be the end of it. And because we love him, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it, Karen. And so that means, you know, even if we're like Stephen and we have to be martyred, we will see the glory of God. We'll see his face. It'll just be sooner rather than later. So I just encourage you not to be paralyzed by fear. In fact, I would also say one thing that helps fear, I think, is to actually do something. So try to think of something, one thing that you can do. You know, maybe work for one candidate or make a phone call or do something, share information with friends. I don't know. Do something, and that kind of alleviates the worry sometimes. And also spend time in the Word. Spend time in God's Word, because that's where our greatest encouragement is found. Karen, thanks a lot. Thank you. Let's go to North Carolina and talk to Stephen. Good morning, Stephen. Speaking of Stephen, I'm good. Hey, can't hear
our
you,
country,
Stephen.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right. Our country is much like Israel in the Old Testament. And the Lord is going to bring about our downfall through foreign nations, which is all these immigrants coming in, unless we repent and turn back to God as a nation. We know, like you were just saying, that God's word says that he's no respecter of nations. But as a group, as that family that you spoke of, if we do not first repent and turn towards God, then we need look no further than the Old Testament than to see what is coming.
Yes, I know. I think that's true. I think that the book of Habakkuk is the one that I think of that sort of shows us the heart of God, the mind of God, when it comes to his people rebelling against him. He brings sometimes a more wicked people to judge his people who are also wicked. Yes.
I would see a similarity too with almost like with the evangelical community as the way they voted in numbers for Donald Trump versus clearly candidates who align up more with biblical standards than he did. I would see him much as Saul and those people wanting a king like other nations because he was saying what, you know, feeds into their natural fears. And instead of looking to the Bible and looking for those who had more biblical qualities and viewpoints.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people think, and I think that was kind of my take on it too at the time, Stephen. I guess so. We have to deal now with what we have, and now the choices that we have are different. This is a new day, and so
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, Stephen. Listen,
we don't know what Donald Trump will do, but we absolutely know what Hillary will do.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Stephen, and God bless you in North Carolina. I know you guys are in a turmoil there. That's what I want to talk about on a different day for sure. Let's go to Danny in Texas. Hey, Danny, good morning.
Good morning, Sandy. We talked in the past, but God bless you for everything you're doing because I listen to you and you encourage me because there's people speaking the truth, and that's what I like to do. The word today, I was asking God what word I will say to the people that are listening. It's action. Take action. There's a lot of stuff that we can do. There's many things that we can do. There's people out there that are not informed, that don't know what's going on in our country, that if they're even Christians that are not registered to vote. I'm from Puerto Rico. There's people from the island that moved to Florida that don't know the internal politics that are going on in the United States. They don't know what the Republican Party or the Democratic Party stand for. So you know people out there that don't know it, the information. Share the information with them. Tell them about this radio station. This radio station was asking for funds and help to open new radio stations close to Jacksonville, Florida. So I called and I did my part. Do your part. Help the AFR. Take action. Buy materials and spread them. Tell people this is what you need to do. I am doing it every day. I'm asking God what else I can do. Every Christian needs to become a strategist.
Danny, what? That's a great way to end the show. And I do think that Christian evangelicals believe so much in the sovereignty of God that they've forgotten that doesn't mean they do nothing. And so I'm with you. AFR.net, by the way, is our website, AFR.net, AFAaction.net. There's all kinds of places to find the stuff that Danny's talking about. And I'm with him. Take action. Let's roll up our sleeves and do something. And so we can tell our children that we did not sit idly by while the country was dismantled. You don't want to do that, do you? I don't believe it. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.